Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film. How are you?
I'm worried about you. We're here to actually check in.
Yeah. If you're doing all right, we're leaving.
Yeah. We just want to, like, just see how you're doing, you know?
But if you're having a really rough time, then it's up to us to bring your spirits back up, because that's what we do here.
So, the reason I'm saying all this nonsense is because we watched a film.
Is that the reason why you're saying
kind
all
of? A lot of it is because my brain don't work good, but most of it is because we watched a film called Dark Crimes.
That was a really rough segue.
Sandpapery smooth. There's a scene in which Jim Carrey promises his grandma, no, his mom, that he will.
That she's not going to die alone.
Yes, when she passes away. And spoiler alert, what do you guys think happens? Like, you can just figure it out yourself.
Okay, so we watched a film called Dark Crimes, and yes. It stars Jim Carrey, which is
weird,
interesting.
Yeah,
and it's not funny. it's not his regular antics, and I feel like he took on the role just to prove that he can do other things that are not zany and just out of control and over the top. And I think he did a serviceable job here. It's just interesting that he played a Polish detective.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, you know, a Polish person could have done just as well.
Yeah. It did seem like there were some Polish actors in this.
Yeah, exactly. So why Jim Carrey? Do you need the star power? I don't
Well, yeah, that's always the reason. It's to try to get people to watch your film. And if it's just a Polish crime drama, and then you're like, hey, let's sprinkle some Carrey in there, people will be like, oh, okay. I like the mask. I'll watch this.
They're all going to laugh at you. Oh, not that Carrey. I see what
not
you're saying.
No, not that kind of sprinkling of Carrey. That's a little different. That'd be like blood, big blood.
So the film, as Jared said, we watched is Dark Crimes. It is based on a true story. It's based on an article that was submitted to The New Yorker in February of 2008. And that article is called
Big Booty Bitches.
Yes, Big Booty Bitches. No, it's called True Crime, A Postmodern Murder Mystery. And I have not taken the time to read the entire thing because it is a lengthy article, but it seems interesting, and this movie is taking directly from that. So, Jared, Jim Carrey in this film, yay or nay?
Well, have you described what the film is actually about?
Oh, shit. You're right.
Gotcha, motherfucker.
So, this film essentially is about I feel like I've heard this in a movie before.
Yeah.
Like, this has been a plot to many different movies and TV shows.
It's the plot of movies. If you guys just think of a movie in your head, then this will just show up eventually.
Okay, so this is the plot of the movie. Basically, this guy, he is writing, like, this intellectual, he's an artist in Poland, and he's writing this book, and a lot of his details in the book come to life. Like, there's a crime that happens that is detailed in his book, and the only way he would know all the information is if he did it himself. So he's arrested for knowing about the murder, but he didn't actually do it. But like I said, I feel like I've seen that movie prior to this crime happening in 2008. I don't know.
A thousand million times? Yeah.
Yes. Is life mimicking fiction, or is fiction mimicking life? You don't know.
Could be. Maybe the movie is a mimic. Once you play the film, it bites your little fingies. Anyways, you kind of spoiled it a little bit. I mean, you didn't reveal who the real murderer is, I guess.
Yeah.
But do we care enough?
I don't think I care enough. I mean, the movie...
This might be a special case of who gives a shit.
I think it is a special case of who gives a shit. But, like, the movie kind of drags a little bit.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as eventful as I had hoped. So let's return to my initial question.
Yes.
Jim Carrey, yay or nay?
As much as I want to do a horse joke right now,
I will have to say
yay.
Yay?
Because Jim Carrey he's a good boy, okay?
He is.
That's something out of all of his traits, he is one of the gooder boys, and I appreciate him for that. It's just that this film, he's doing his best. He's really acting his fucking balls off.
Yeah, that's what my comment was going to be. Like, he's really trying, and it's noticeable. Like, he's not a caricature of anybody. He's actually really hardcore method acting. Yes. I was very impressed by that.
There's something about, maybe Dan, you can help me. This film is made in Poland, right?
Yes, I believe so.
With Poland actors, I'm assuming like all the crew, a lot of it's Polish.
Polactors, we call them in the biz.
Polacting. So like we know how like Korean films are different from American films, yes, and Japanese films, and we've already established that in previous episodes. What is Polish acting? What is their filmmaking? Because if it's this, I don't know if I ever want to see another Polish film again. And I'm a little worried about it. Going to give Polish films a chance, but the way this movie was shot and the dialogue was so bizarre. It's like aliens were trying to make a movie. The film is jumps around so much between scene to scene, and it's like the things you're seeing look nice. And the shots are kind of, they're well set up or whatever. But like, you'll have a scene. I was making fun of this a little bit, maybe off air, on air, I don't know what I was doing. But there's a scene where Jim Carrey is in a parking garage.
Yes.
And there's a cool shot of the parking garage, which is weird. Like, how do you get a cool shot of that? Anyways, he's there, and then a woman walks up to him.
Oh, this is towards the end.
Yes. And she goes, "It'll be on later tonight." And he just looks at her and goes, "Fine." And that's the whole scene. And then we cut to something completely different. And I'm just like, what the fuck? And that's this whole movie. It's just him, like, meeting with the person. And then they say, like, something really cryptic or, like, maybe one or two sentences. And then we cut to something else. And the movie is jumping so fast between all these different things. And they do it in the most boring way. I was so bored by this movie. I was bored to tears. And, like, everyone knows what's going on. And yet, like, I know what the murder mystery is. But I don't understand the way they're trying to get to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
The threads to get there are just so clouded. Like, his boss, Gregor.
Mm-hmm.
So you have Jim Carrey, who was a hotshot detective. And he gets demoted because of that case that we're talking about. This murder mystery that he was never able to solve.
Right.
About some man who got killed at a sex club. And thrown into a river. And now he's obsessed about it. And he's not supposed to solve cases anymore because his boss, Gregor, is like mad at him or whatever. But apparently, Gregor, who is the chief of police, is maybe in on it or implicated in it.
He's a corrupt cop.
Yes. So then there's that whole angle of him trying to catch it. But it's like, remember that scene where Gregor is like in the car with Jim Carrey and he's threatening him?
Yeah.
I didn't even know who that character was because they called him Adam. And I'm like, I don't know who the fuck Adam is. And it's just like that kind of weird disconnect of, I know Gregor is his boss. I know he's a bad guy. But then I'm like, who the fuck is this Adam guy? And I just pieced it together myself. I'm like, oh, okay.
There was a scene that at the very beginning, he's watching a scene of Gregor. What is he doing?
Eating a ham sandwich.
No, he's not eating a ham sandwich. Jackass. No, he's pulling the body out of the lake.
Yes.
So Jim Carrey is watching Gregor pull the body out of the lake. He's the lead investigator on it. And on top of that screen, it has his whole name. It says Adam Gregor.
Mm.
So I saw that, and then that's how I put that together.
It's weird, because like I feel like I watched the film, but I'm not sure if I watched the film.
Right.
The movie hypnotized me into unwatching, and that cannot be a good thing.
I really
tried to pay attention.
I don't think it is a good thing. Like Jared's been saying, it's a bore of a film, and it's very upsetting that it's a bore of a film because I've been wanting to watch it since it came out like 3 years ago. Uh-huh. Like, I'm like, ooh, Jim Carrey in a new serious role that's not the number 23, and hopefully it doesn't suck. Well,
I mean, Him in Eternal Sunshine for the Spotless Mind was great.
Yeah,
and then that was kind of like when that proved to me he could be a more serious actor.
Well, and him in the Truman Show is great too.
Oh yeah! Oh my God!
Because yes. That's not necessarily a comedic role. He's not over the top per se.
Mm-hmm.
So he does have the chops, but he's never in these brooding kind of movies. And this is like one of those brooding movies that's like, it's a dark thriller, and he plays a detective who's just down on his luck, having trouble at home.
The whole like thing with him and his wife, because okay, so there's the writer. And then there is the writer's girlfriend or wife.
Cassia,
Yeah, and then she has a kid. But she's also the girlfriend is addicted to drugs and is a prostitute that works at the sex club. And I was thinking, like, why does she do all those things when she's dating a successful writer who has written many books? I mean, do they just not make money? I don't know. Do writers get paid a lot? Maybe not. I don't know. You think they'd be doing okay. Like, I don't know if she needs to be doing that anymore. But then we have Jim Carrey and his wife, who are almost like non-characters.
Yeah.
And it's, they're trying to get at, he is neglecting his family for this case.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they do it is so weird. Like, there's one scene where it shows Jim Carrey, like, walks into his house, and his wife is, like, buttoning up her blouse very casually, and then you hear like a door slam in the background, and you're kind of like, is his wife cheating on him? Is that what's going on? And it was done so quickly, it's kind of like, is that what was implied here? I don't get it. And then there's that other scene where he takes the girlfriend, the drug addict girlfriend. She's like, I'm afraid of my boyfriend. I think he's gonna hurt me and my kid. And she goes all the way to his house to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I'll take her home. And then his wife is like, if you take one more step, I'm going to leave you. And I was like, where the fuck did this come from? Like, I thought you were just upset because he's been working a lot. And they're like, whoa, this is really extreme. Like, I mean, obviously this is a trap for him, but yeah. I'm not supposed to know that. Like, this is supposed to be him doing a nice thing for her to like protect her from this crazy dude. And then he like has sex with her at her house. I'm like,
yep.
That's when I checked out. That was about an hour into the film when he has sex with this woman, because it's such an obvious trap against him. I was just like, this is so dumb.
Well, and then the movie also borrows a lot from other films. Like it feels like this film was like, they had an idea for a film and they're like, all right, this is our idea. And we want to put other cool films into this film and just draw an inspiration. But like that inspiration is basically straight up copying the sex club. A lot of those images were insane, but it was
pointless.
Pointless. Like there's kind of Salo, 120 Days of Sodom. The people on leashes that are walking around on all fours butt naked. It's like, okay, why are we doing this? Like, the only original shot in that whole sex club was the one that we open on. And it's just this girl naked, tied up to the ceiling, and she's suspended. Yeah.
What a crazy thing to open on. I was like, what the fuck is this movie?
Exactly. What a crazy ass thing to open on and then not follow anything. It was like watching It part one, where, you know, you open on the fucking child getting murdered and then you just plateau from there. And it's just like two hours of bullshit.
I thought this film was going to be his descent into dark crimes. Like, I thought he was going to become the crimes.
Right. Harry. Now,
does this not happen?
Does this not remind you of another better film that blew your mind?
You'll have to remind me.
Enemy.
I don't remember.
Jake Gyllenhaal, the doppelganger one.
Oh, yeah. That movie was crazy. Yes, it is kind of similar. But that one was more about he had a literal doppelganger, right?
Right. But you still have the theme of some mystery surrounding a sex club, and he delves deeper into that world.
That movie's way better than this film, that's for sure. Oh my gosh. But it's like Jim Carrey delving into the mystery is like, he goes to the sex club when it's closed, so it's just like a dirty warehouse, and he like walks around and looks at like garbage.
So basically, it's a police procedural without any exciting proceedings.
Yeah. I mean, he should at least have a partner so he can bounce, like, dialogue back and forth with.
That was, like, I was confused. Like, normally police do have partners in that way. And I guess he's paired with, like, the little lackey dude that turns out to be working against him somehow. Question mark.
Yeah, I don't. And the whole, like, he's old school, because there's a point where in the movie they were like, you're too old school, Jim Carrey. You can't beat up people anymore. Even though, like, the accused that he has been interrogating, he never heard him up until this point. And then literally after they say, you're an old school cop that likes to beat up people, he starts to do that. It's almost like, oh, you're right. It says in the script I should be doing that the whole time.
Well, my issue with that was he seemed... The only clue that I got that he was old school was apparently he planted dope in the guy's apartment.
But I didn't understand that until they actually said it.
Exactly. Like, the way it's filmed...
I didn't even know what it was.
Well, the way it's filmed, it looks like he just found it. And it did... there was no implication that Jim Carrey planted it at all. Because normally whenever a police plants evidence, they bring attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But in this film, they didn't bring attention to it. And he's like, you have drugs. And then he's like, I don't know. Like, his reaction to finding drugs was like, oh, no, that's not mine. Like, there was nothing about his reaction that said, I've been framed. It just was like, well, you got me. Shit.
And the whole, probably the most interesting thing about this movie is the interrogation scene.
Right.
Where the first one. And it's just because of how obtuse and bizarre the writer is.
Yeah.
And he's a frustrating, annoying dude, but he's still made for like an entertaining back and forth between him and Jim Carrey.
His
motivation is interesting too. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
To put more context to him being frustrating and annoying, he just has this lofty, I'm better than you attitude.
Yes.
And he speaks in bullshit riddles that like, It sounds like he's a 15-year-old who's figured out the world and the world's against him, bro.
Yeah, but the actor is so good that he's almost making this okay.
Right.
Like when he's at his Q&A, it's just like no human being would ever act this way.
Exactly.
This guy, and they're kind of like asking him about his book. He's like, "What is a book? What is anything?" You know, it's like, how do you feel about truth? He's like, truth is a beautiful bunny that you kiss every day when you wake up, but bunnies aren't real, and neither is the truth. And he gets up and like walks away.
No,
I'm like,
so I not liked, exactly I, what he... I liked his, that was the only part, that was the only part of his speeches that I liked, how he said truth is based on perception.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's no such thing as truth until you perceive it to be, which is interesting, but... He just is a big douchebag that I don't really care about.
Yeah, exactly.
But one thing that he did do in the interrogation that we're talking about that I really liked was he kept pushing the light so it would swing back and forth between
them. That was annoying me. I was getting annoyed watching. I was like, oh my God, this is, the tactics.
It was funny.
Ooh, yeah, that was interesting. It's sad. This movie is sad and disappointing because there's really something there and they had all the pieces. It's like, it is a film, but boy, it's so boring, man. And then it's so predictable. Like I could easily figure out what was going on. Let's do a couple more questions, I guess.
you mean the things that we do at the beginning of the show?
We kind of did it backwards. We really jumped into the film.
It's a backwards episode, guys. Dark Crimes has made our podcasting skills go inverted.
Dark podcasting.
Dark crimes, huh? Why not?
That's right.
Why not light good doings?
Oh, excellent. You nailed it. Light good doings. That's my JRPG hero name. I'm Light Do-Goodings. I'm here to collect the 7 crystals of hope. Blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Anywho, is there anything you liked about this film? What did you enjoy? What are the positives that you can say?
Well, the acting was good.
Yep.
I liked how bleak it looked. Like, the aesthetic of the film was pretty on point. I think it did a good service to the narrative. I'm trying to think. Some of the philosophical musings that the guy had, I enjoyed, like I said.
Were interesting, yeah, yeah.
Let's talk about that one scene that we kind of mentioned already, how his mom's like, I'm not going to die alone, am I? And then she ends up dying alone. So
it's so obvious.
After Jim Carrey gives the information to the reporter, and then she's like, it'll be on it later. He goes directly to his mom's house, and he starts bawling his eyes out. And you know why he's bawling his eyes out, because obviously his mom died. But it took so long for the reverse shot of what he was crying at that it really was, it bothered me a lot.
I don't even think they should have done a reverse shot and showed the mother. I think they could have just had him walking into his mom's house and him falling down on the ground.
How do you have the context of, because, okay, he walks into so many buildings. I don't fucking know. I don't know what's the police office. I don't know what's his house. I don't know what is the writer's girlfriend's house. And I don't know what his fucking mom house is. Like, I have no context to any of the interiors. Like, for all I know, it's the same fucking building.
There's so many scenes of him searching a building or being in a house he shouldn't be in that you have no idea where he is or what he's doing. And he's doing this constantly, just searching and looking, and you're like, who the fuck's house is this? Is he searching his own house? What is going on? Like,
exactly.
I don't know.
What?
Huh?
So by the time he gets to his mom's house and starts crying, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then you have to, it's like, oh, he must be at his mom's house, and his mom's dead.
The only reason I knew it was his mom's house is because he's got to take that slow-ass elevator.
Oh,
the like open plan elevator
in
like a Resident Evil game where it's like a platform that moves up, and I'm like, oh, I guess that's where grandmas live. I don't know. Let's talk about the ending a little bit.
Okay.
His life basically completely falls apart.
Yes.
He loses his wife and his kid. His mom dies because of all of neglect, because he chooses the case over them, I guess, whatever. And it is said that his friend in the police force has been tricking him this whole time into solving this case.
Yes.
And he literally was like, I don't even care about you really, like, how you solved the case. I just wanted you to solve it so it would implicate the chief of police, so he would be arrested so I could be the new chief of police.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I guess. So that all happened, and then they had the whole newspaper thing where he was framed in the news.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't explicitly said, but you can kind of infer that's what was going on.
And then that makes him throw up. Like, he has such a weird sense of justice. Like, it's such a strong sense of justice that the minute that he finds out that he did something wrong, he vomits.
But yeah, he did that. He did the wrong thing.
Exactly.
And I can't believe he succumbed to this lady and had sex with her so quickly. I'm like, what the fuck? Really? Is that what we're going with? This angle of you, like, she's like the femme fatale, and you're really gonna get tricked by this obvious trick?
We call them traps.
It's just, it was ridiculous.
This movie, ridiculous is a good word to describe this movie.
Ridiculous. And so now he's lost his job, I guess. I don't know. Or he's shamed or something. So he's lost everything. And now, what does he do? He goes to the one woman who's basically ruined his entire life.
Yes. As is his wont.
He goes back to her, and he's like, just tell me the truth. He's like, that's all I have left, is the truth. I have to know what the truth is. Because now he knows that it wasn't the husband who had done the murder. So it's like, obviously it was her. Duh. Like, any dingus with a wingus could figure this out. It was her. It was her. It was her. Jim Carrey, it was her. Like, even Jim Carrey knows, and he's mad that he has to read these lines and pretend that he does not know what's going on. And the lady's like, oh, I will tell you the truth, but first, drink this not laced with poison vodka, and we will have a not laced with poison conversation. Totally normal, not weird at all. Standard Polish conversation. And he's like, yeah, 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 cool, cool, cool. And he drinks it. And she goes, I will tell you standard Polish story of woman who poisons you. I mean, has good time not poisoning you. And he goes, oh, yeah, 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 for sure. She's like, I killed everyone. It was me all along. It was me. Like, everyone knew this from the, like, the first 10 minutes of the film. I did it. And he doesn't even get to answer because he's slumped over dead.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck this movie. And that's how the movie ends.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about this reveal. Did you know at all that she was poisoning him?
No.
So, exactly. So I am watching her say all this, and we never get a reverse shot of Jim Carrey. We just get her confessing. Now, I will say this is something interesting that is done in this film. There's a lot of shots of people looking directly into the camera confessing.
Mm-hmm.
So, essentially, it's like, you know, you're breaking the fourth wall at that point. So, we have that at the end. And sometimes in the film, it was utilized for good, and it was really cool that they did that in that moment. And sometimes it's kind of lacking. This was one of the moments where it was kind of lacking because you know she's talking to him, and then once you finally get the reverse shot, he's just dead, and you're like, "What the fuck? Where did what?"
I thought he was so upset by what she had said that he's just not speaking, and I'm like, laying back, not gonna say anything.
Just fell asleep.
And then I rewound the tape because I watched this on VHS tape.
Yes.
Kidding. And then I saw, like, oh, they did have a drink together. And I'm like, what a weird cliched thing to end on of, like, a femme fatale poisoning the main character. I'm like, what the fuck? Where did this come from? The, like, that she's going to be doing this. She didn't even need to do this. Do you think her motivation was that, like, you put my husband in jail, so I'm going to kill you? Because she confessed. She didn't have to confess. Her husband already took the fall for it. Just to protect her. The drug addict prostitute lady with a kid. I don't know. I don't understand any of it.
Well,
Dan, is the movie over?
Yeah, the movie's over.
Thank you.
It was my pick. I apologize.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so we both didn't like it, right?
Correct.
Good.
Don't watch this movie.
That's our final thoughts. Don't watch this movie. It's very unfortunate.
Don't let Jim Carrey's star power draw you in
It
did for me.
Ugh. Yikes. Just watch Liar Liar again. How about that? Basically the same film. So if you're going to follow us, I recommend you go to the following places. Facebook at Indie Film Review on Facebook. We got at Indie Film Pod on Twitter.
At Indie Film Review Pod on Instagram.
Yes. If you want to hit us up with an email via Gmail, it is theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. Send us your movie requests. I mean, you can send us any one of the things we've mentioned already. Hit us up. Let us know how you feel about the show. If you like it. If you don't like it, maybe keep that to yourself. I don't know. But constructive criticism is always welcome. We're also on Podbean, being hosted currently at indiefilmreview.podbean.com. We're part of the Necropodicon Network, which is super fun. A lot of good podcasts there. We're growing, we're showing, and people like that for some reason.
Growing and showing.
Yeah. And a lot of really good D&Ds on there. Good horror movie podcast. We got some stuff for kids and families. There's a good mix of everything on there. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Good movie podcast too. So yeah, check out necropodicon.com for all your damn podcasts.
Please.
Why not?
Ladies and gentlemen, we live off of the words from your mouths.
That's right. We live in a society.
teal people?
Teal people.
Tell people about this podcast and throw it at them. Just wad us up in a big old podcast ball and throw it at unsuspecting people's faces.
Holidays are coming up, guys. What better thing to bring up than an obscure podcast no one's ever heard of to old people who don't even understand what a podcast
is? Do you really want to talk about politics all fucking dinner?
No, of course not. You want to talk about the Indie Film Review.
Exactly.
And how handsome and polite the co-hosts are. Handsome being, you'd have to kind of like visualize in your head, I guess, of like how handsome we are. But just take my word for it that we're pretty handsome. Yeah. Anyways, Dan, you have the final word.
You know what? We should make a Jim Carrey movie.
Mm.
A movie with Jim Carrey in it. Do you want to know what my idea was? And it's a terrible idea, but...
Yes, please.
Okay. So we had a biopic of Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury. We had had a biopic of Elton John starring in the biopic of David Bowie next summer, Jim Carrey. I think he can pull it off.
Sex, magic, space bags, and booze? Well, then you should check out Wheeler Woe. It's a
Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Improv heavy.
Character-driven podcast, and we're proud members of the Necropodicon Network. You can find us and other great shows at necropodicon.com.
Hot damn!